Hello, and welcome to a special episode of Contending at the Water Cooler. My name is Joey Moser, and I am joined by two legendary casting directors, Nina Gold and Doug Abel. For their work together on Noah Baumbach's Jay Kelly, this pair worked together to establish different ensembles as George Clooney's character travels around Europe connecting with strangers and also himself. They reveal which role was the most difficult to nail down, what they wish people knew when working with a casting director, and what it really feels like for the Academy to finally have a casting Oscar category. Let's have a listen.
I love this movie so much. I saw it at Telluride. I saw it again at Middleburg. Nina, I saw you at Middleburg. One of my colleagues made a really dorky... He interacted with you, but you were like walking over towards getting like a cup of water, and they had the Netflix had those posters that had the whole cast on it, and my friend said, he was like, oh wow, who put this together? Who put this group of people together? Like, they're really good at their job. And you just like smiled bemusedly. It was a very fun moment for me to sort of see that.
Anyway. Oh, okay. Obviously, I was so completely befuddled with jet lag, I can't remember a single thing about Middleburg.
You're like, I think there were horses and beautiful that, greenery.
It was actually lovely. It was a very nice surprise to be there, and we were treated beautifully by everybody.
It's a great little festival.
It is.
Yeah. Good way to do it. I guess this. I know the answer to this question, but I wanted to get your perspective on it. This category is a long time coming, and I'm so glad it's finally here. I guess I just wanted to ask you both what it kind of feels like to finally have casting recognized by the Academy. There's obviously other awards bodies that have it, but I guess I wanted to know the Oscars, obviously regarded as like the big show. So I guess I wanted to know what this feels like for you.
Nina, do you want to go first? Or
you go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think one just feels so gratified for the community more than anything else, for casting directors, past, present, and future, because it is a long time coming. I think what we do is not understood by a lot of people out there, and for it to be finally seen and recognized as an art as well as a craft, and as having a real perspective means everything. And I always like to mention that there were these great casting directors of the past, like Lynn Stallmaster, Marion Doherty, who really forged the way, the path. And I know they've been in England as well. Who really had to fight for even getting credit, in the end credits on a film. So I think it's a tribute to all of them as well. And I think less long overdue than just very grateful that the Academy created this opportunity for us, for people to learn more about the field and get to know what our work is all about.
Yeah, and it feels great to have the opportunity to be recognized alongside our peers in other areas of the film, of making the film. And it is definitely one that's going to be one for all of our predecessors who and their amazing work over decades.
Yeah. I say every year that I find casting to be fascinating. I have a theater background, so I know what it kind of feels like a little bit to be like in the room auditioning for like something on stage. But it's sort of, sometimes I see people that write pieces and talk about casting, and I'm always wondering what casting directors think of those pieces, because I feel like it's such an elusive, instinctive kind of thing that you kind of can't nail down, and it varies from project to project. I just think what, not to be dorky, but to like what you guys do is so like alluring to me, because I kind of like that I don't understand it. Like I don't understand on a certain level, like what you folks see whenever you see people come into the room to talk about stuff. So J. Kelly is so, I love the bigness of this cast. I love that we see so many, I keep saying how dorky I am, but like people like Patsy Farron, whenever she pops in, I was like, I was so excited to see her. I guess in a general sense, can you tell me when you have such a big swath of characters, is there something that is key there with like a larger film as opposed to something like smaller?
I guess this film was in some casting wise anyway, it's in some sort of sections when it's, there's Jacoby's Hollywood life, and there's his private life, and then there's his journey into his past as he moves forward into the, as he's going forward, you know, on the train. And there's also his, he goes into an unknown territory with all these new people on the train and then in Italy. And so there are different ensembles, I guess. And that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, in a sense it was, in a sense there was both a very intimate story and a big expansive story. And both of them had a lot of casting requirements. Both of them involved many countries and continents in a search, all ages, shapes, sizes, types of human beings. So it was a really, you know, it was a really kind of a grand process. But at the heart of it, you know, given what a beautiful script we think Emily and Noah wrote, and having, for myself, having worked with Noah quite a bit, you work on something as you work on anything. You start with the script, you start with the characters. You really, as a casting director, try to intuit what the director and the writer or writers want to bring forth with a character. And sometimes they may have someone in mind, and sometimes, often, they don't. And you have to work with them to surprise them, push the button, excite them so that everybody feels comfortable with the choice that's made. So
it's also, I guess, but sorry, Doug, I didn't mean to. Sorry, my Zoom etiquette. At the heart of it, even though it is this, you know, big endeavor from one, with a huge cast from one part to the other, at the heart of it, it's all about the human relationships, which is the kind of essence of all casting, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would also add that, and again, this speaks to a lot of Noah's work in the past, from every character down, even like characters with just a few lines, they're fully created in the writing, and they all have an ache. They all have needs. Even someone as confident as Ben, the Patrick Wilson's character, is yearning for more. And that, I think, is a common thread. So in this process, you're really wanting to find actors who have that ability, you know, to convey the sort of a comedy and tragedy in every one of these characters, and a sweetness and a sadness and a yearning. And that requires a very specific kind of actor who can bring that to life, I think.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about the film, just looking at the actors embodying the parts, is that it felt like to me there were so many people in here that I was seeing a completely new shade of them as a performer. Like seeing, I mean, Adam blew me away. The sort of, I can't even really pinpoint what, like with Laura Dern, the sort of like outward frustration that she's really projecting to Jay and sort of everyone around her. And I mean, also just the little pockets of humor from like Emily Mortimer, like those are gold for someone who really loves big ensemble films like this, but also even just like with George. I mean, George is a man that obviously, as evidenced by seeing his career at the end of the film, I even thought I saw new shades of him as an actor that I didn't even think was possible. So I felt like that's something that I personally latched onto, even before I thought about talking to the two of you about casting, was I thought everyone brought something completely different that I've never seen before, which I thought was really exciting.
George is clearly not actually that similar to Jay Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
They look alike.
Yeah.
And they're both giant film stars, but I don't think George Clooney really is that similar to Jay Kelly. And he plays it with such nuance and subtlety. It's really incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great, great vulnerability. And as you said, subtle vulnerability. They're, to me, there's not a dishonest moment in that performance. It has a pure quality to it.
Yeah, there's something about the way he smiles in this movie, that megawatt smile. It just feels like, I even wondered if that character is maybe like a default, I'm using air quotes here, of whenever he hears something he doesn't expect, he smiles. And I was like, it's a very disarming, maybe even in certain situations, defense mechanism for the actor that, you know, everybody recognizes on the street. I just thought it was such a beautiful performance. I kind of wanted to ask, and this may sound like a really cheesy question, but I kind of wanted to ask, what was the most difficult role to kind of like nail down or fill? Is there something that you went through a longer process of casting than something else?
Well, obviously the younger versions of the two male characters was a very extended process. Mm-hmm. Bethany and George. I also found the casting process for the two daughters was very extensive, particularly Daisy, the younger daughter. It's really interesting. Those two characters, they're actually a different generation. You know, they're clearly different parents. And in a superficial way, you wanted them to sort of resemble him, but obviously their life experience and their view of him are completely different from each other.
Yeah.
One basically has given up on a relationship and the other is kind of resigned to it and sort of has a more optimistic view, but both characters are like, have a complicated past with him that is not articulated in a great way in the script. So we really had to find actresses who couldn't convey that complexity, but also the ease of just being his kids. And so that was it. That I remembered as a very involved process too.
That's even something that I didn't think about before. If something like as a smaller part, and then you're trying, maybe you're seeing different performers and maybe they bring something out in the room that colors the script in a different way. Like that, I never even thought of that before. Silly Joey. Why didn't I think of that? And also just, I can't imagine how intimidating it would be for young men to be like, hi, you're going to play the young George Clooney. If they even know that George Clooney is in the part, it's like, you have to play the younger version of this famed movie star.
Oh, they knew.
They knew. The young man who plays him, I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head.
Darling Rowe.
Thank you. I was so, there's like a similar twinkle in their eyes that I don't know. I was so drawn to him, which is, you know, kind of, I guess what you want when you want people to be drawn to such a big movie star.
Yeah. And he did a really great job and that was another part where we really explored the big time, you know, lots of candidates and tried lots of people. And, you know, there were lots of good people for these parts and for the daughters. And it's, you know, it's getting it to be the right person is the challenge. And yeah, for Charlie Rowe playing young Jay Kelly and not to do the job of making, of embodying him and capturing the spirit and essence of him without doing a impersonation is a really great thing to do and to pull off.
Yeah.
There were logistical questions too, because it took a while for us to work out. There were scheduling issues with many actors on this film, and Billy Crudup was doing a play in London at the time, which I was very excited about because it was a play. I've run a theater in New York for many years, and the play premiered at my theater 5 years ago, and then went to London. And we went, oh wow, he's going to be in London when Jake Kelly is going on, but it was a schedule. So that role had to be cast, correct, Nina, before we could start.
Yeah,
for young Timothy. So I would say the young Jay process was a long distance run, and the young Timothy was a sprint in terms of time.
Oh my gosh. Balancing schedule, I imagine, has to be a nightmare.
A lot of the great European actors like Alba Rohrwacher, Lars Eidinger,
yeah.
They have very complicated schedules, and often a lot of actors in Italy and in Germany and France a different kind of schedule to work around in terms of theater festivals and such. So there was quite a bit of needling. What's the phrase? Putting the thread through the needle and hoping to work it all out. So we were very fortunate that everyone we wanted was able to do it.
I was so excited when she popped up. I was just like, you heard like probably just little gasps in Telluride of me just responding to all these people that I love so much. And I have to say about Billy Crudup, I love that. I mean, he's such an incredible actor. But also it has to be really gratifying for a casting director when he's only in, you know, a small amount of the film, but like everyone that I talk to talks about that performance. It just has to be really kind of like, you know, locking that in. It has to feel like almost wish fulfillment, I imagine. I guess just one last question before I let you go. I feel like I could talk to you for a long time just about picking your brain about the process of casting, but I wanted to know what each of you wish people knew about casting process, maybe just in like a general sense, or maybe what you wish actors would think when they step into a room to audition.
Who wants to go first?
not a complicated question at all.
I feel very aware of the fact that they're doing something I could never do in a million years.
Okay.
And I take my hat off to anyone who can put themselves up there and give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they know that.
Mm.
I would add, yes, indeed. And I would add that usually when an actor comes in the room to read for a project, it can be a terrifying experience. I usually just try to read directly with them so that I can be their scene partner and not their judge, and know that we as casting directors are on their side. We want them to do their very best.
We want the best for them, and that's why they're there. What they're doing there. We're with them.
Absolutely. And I would say in terms of the first part of your question, there's no one ground rule about how casting works because it's fluid, living thing. It depends on the relationship you have with the director, because every director I've ever worked with, I don't want to speak for you, Nina, has a different kind of process.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like to see a million actors. Some people like to see very few. Some people have, if they are also the writers of the script, have very clear and a definitive view of what the character should look like or be. Mm. And there are other directors who say, surprise me, delight me, show me an actor who I would never have thought of for the role. So it's really it's a process of supporting and going on this journey with your director and working together to find the best living canvas for their film.
Mm. Love that. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, both of you. I can't wait to see the movie again. There's just something really beautifully satisfying about it. And I at Middleburg, they had those posters that had the whole cast on it, and I still have mine. It's over in a different Christmas nook over there. And I don't know, I keep looking at it, like seriously, I keep looking at it, and I do think it was like, wow, what a cast. So I'm really rooting for you guys to get nominated because I really want you both to win. So thank you so much for your time, and good luck to you this season, and have a good rest of your day.
And have a good Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you, you too.
Happy Christmas.
Yeah, happy Christmas. Bye.